بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي خلق الإنسان في أحسن تقويم، وأعد للمسلمين المطيعين جنات النعيم. سبحان الذي برد النار على إبراهيم، وكرم سليمان بعقل فهيم، عليهما الصلاة والتسليم، فسبح باسم ربك العظيم. والصلاة والسلام على سيد المصطفى الذي ولد في الصحراء على زمان الجهلاء، ليخرج الناس من اتباع الهوى إلى نور الهدى. وسلام على أصحابه الأتقياء وعلى أمته المجتبى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ومن يأته مؤمنا قد عمل الصالحات فأولئك لهم الدرجات العلا، جنات عدن تجري من تحتهم الأنهار خالدين فيها، وذلك جزاء من تزكى. صدق الله العظيم. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: الدين النصيحة، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. أما بعد، respected علماء كرام، beloved youngsters, it was in the 26th year of Hijri where Abdullah bin Sa'ad bin Abi Sarh radiallahu an was leading the Muslim army, and they were going to fight the Romans in a certain part of Africa. At that time, the leader of the Roman, of the army of the Romans, was Jarjir. The Romans had prepared an army of approximately 120,000 to 200,000 forces, and the Muslims numbered in a few thousand. Jarjir made an announcement to his army and he said, whoever brings the head of Abdullah, then he will get my daughter's hand in marriage and I will give him 100,000 dinars. When the Muslims had come to know of this proclamation, they became anxious, they became worried. And they mentioned this to another Sahabi who was participating in that jihad, Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu anhu. Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu anhu said, what is there to fear? We will also make the announcement that whoever kills Jarjir, he will get Jarjir's daughter's hand in marriage and he will get 100,000 dinars and he will govern over the area that Jarjir is running. So this gave the motivation to the Muslim army. Nevertheless, the battle ensued and it was a very fierce battle, and very ferociously both armies met and fought. Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu anhu, who was in his early 20s, a young Sahabi, in his early 20s, he gets the sight of Jarjir, and Jarjir was seated with his people around him. He had two of his servants covering him with peacock feathers. Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu anhu, he outsmarted the entire army of the Kuffar of 200,000 men and he managed to sneak his way and come right in front of Jarjir, the commander of the Kuffar. Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu anhu took out his sword and he beheaded Jarjir. He took the head of Jarjir, placed it on his spear and made his way back to the Muslim camp, leaving both armies surprised at his marvelous courage. That how did Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu anhu outsmart an entire army of 200,000 people? My respected elders and brothers, this was the Sahabi, Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu anhu, in his youth. This Sahabi was the first Muhajir Sahabi to be born to the Muslims in Medina Munawwara. The Jews used to mock the Muslims and they used to say that we place the curse upon you, you won't get any offspring when the Muhajirin came to Medina. And Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu anhu was born. The Muslims rejoiced. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made his tahniq. At the age of 7, he took the bay'ah at the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He used to say the word saif, many times from his mouth the word sword. The sword was always by his side. He grew up in courage. His mother was none other than Asma bint Abi Bakr radiallahu anha. And she used to encourage him to rise to great heights of courage. And she inculcated with him this great quality of being fearless in the face of the enemy and the face of the kuffar. Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu anhu, it said that he was unmatchable in three aspects. He was unmatchable in his courage, in his bravery. And Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu anhu was unmatchable in his ibadah as well as his eloquence. Regarding Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu anhu, it is mentioned, وَكَانَ صَوَّامًا قَوَّامًا طَوِيلَ الصَّلَىٰ عَظِيمَ الشُّجَاعَةً. That he was a person who used to spend the night in ibadah. He used to spend the days fasting, continuous fasting. In fact, قَسَمَ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ الدَّهْرَ ثَلَاثَ لَيَالٍ. Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu anhu distributed his nights of the year into three nights. And he used to alternate. One night, قَائِمًا حَتَّى الصَّبَاحِ. He used to stand in qiyam until the morning. One night, he used to be in ruku until the morning. One night, he used to be in sajda until the morning. This was the ibadah of Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu anhu. His courage, we mentioned it earlier, and ultimately he was martyred at the hands of Hajjaj bin Yusuf. Again, fighting very courageously against the enemy until he was made a shaheed. And with regards to his intelligence, with regards to his tawakkul and trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's mentioned when he was young, his father Zubair bin Awam radiallahu anhu, in the battle of Jamal, he told his son that I fear today I might pass away, I might be made a shaheed. But what is weighing over me is I have a lot of debt. Now Zubair bin Awam radiallahu anhu was a sahabi where people used to come and entrust by him their money. But he used to say, I'm not taking this as a trust, I'm taking it as a loan. And like that, many people had left their money with him, so the loan that people, that he had from people had reached a large amount. So he told his son that make sure you sort out my loans after, my debt after I pass away. And if you have any trouble, then speak to my master. So Abdullah bin Zubair asked, who is your master? And he said, my master is Allah. And Abdullah bin Zubair said, whenever I had a difficulty in fulfilling the debt of my father, I turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O master of Zubair, assist me. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's assistance came. Nevertheless, Zubair bin Awam radiallahu anhu left a debt of approximately 2,200,000 dinar. A very large amount. And he never left behind much wealth. He left behind a few lands, a few properties. But Allah blessed Abdullah bin Zubair with such intelligence that he was able to cover the debt of his father, sell the land with such expertise that he recovered from the estate of his father 50,200,000 dinar. So that was the intelligence that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu anhu. Ata rahimahullah, he says, Kana ibn al-Zubair idha salla ka'annahu ka'bun ratibun. When he used to perform salah, he was like a reed, a thick reed firm in the ground. وَكَانَ يُسَمَّى حَمَّامُ الْمَسْجِدِ. He was known as the pigeon of the masjid when he was performing salah, so still that the birds used to come and sit on his shoulders. One day while performing salah, the snake from the roof fell in his home and he was unaware of the commotion. That was the devotion that he had in salah. My respected youngsters, this was the youngster of the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu anhu. Abdullah bin Masud radiallahu anhu said, مَنْ كَانَ مُسْتَنًّا فَلْيَسْتَنَّ بِمَنْ قَدْ مَاتْ أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ مُحَمَّدٍ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you have to follow anyone, then follow the lives of those who have passed before you. That is the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we take great lesson and courage from the life of this sahabi and many other sahaba. That you sitting here today, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept great potential in your heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept great potential at the hands of the youth. And when the youth understand their potential, they maximize their potential and rise to the occasion. Then like how sahaba created ripples in the world, you, my beloved youngster, can change the world. Remember, striving to be pious in a corrupt society is something which is praiseworthy, but it is simply not enough. Because the evils of society will ultimately devour one's efforts. We have to become youngsters who create environments. We have to become the youth of the ummah who change the environment around us. And this will come when we bring the sifat of deen, of sahaba into our life. When we bring the greatness of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into our heart. When we make tazkiyah of our nafs. When we acquire the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But my respected, beloved youngsters, the only thing that keeps us back from progressing is our desires. Our desires is what stops us from progressing and reaching great heights. It is what enslaves us. We have to break free from the shackles of our desires and understand the true potential that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given each and every one of us. Someone said so beautifully. He said that we can't build a future for our youth. We don't know what is in store in the future, so we can't build the future for our youth. But we can build our youth for the future. We can inculcate within our youth when they're young the sifat of sahaba, that they are prepared for the challenges that await them in the future. You are so special, my beloved youngsters, that Hazrat Abu Sa'id Khudri radiallahu anhu, whenever he used to see youth, كان إذا رأى الشباب يقول مرحبا بوصية رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. When he used to see youngsters, he used to say, welcome to that group of people who Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructed us that we should treat them well. مَرْحَبًا بِوَصِيَّةِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ أَوْطَانَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ أَنْ نُوَسِّعَ لَكُمْ فِي الْمَجْلِسِ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded us, advised us that we should give you a special place in the majlis. In the gatherings when you come, in the gatherings of knowledge, then give special preference to the youth. That this entire program gathered for the youth, for the special, for, because of the speciality that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept in each and every one of you. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَأَن نُفَهِّمَكُمْ الْحَدِيثِ, that and you make them understand the hadith, teach them the hadith, for these will be the people of hadith after you. So sahaba also had great hope in the youth of the ummah, that later on they will be an asset for the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us an advice in Quran, that how can we become people who are successful? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاصْبِرْ نَفْسَكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاةِ وَالْعَشِيِّ يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَةِ. That remain with those who call their Rabb in the morning and the evening seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now this verse revealed regarding Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, special incident in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but applicable until Qiyamah. For every person, أي إجلس مع الذين يذكرون الله, that sit with those who make the dhikr of Allah Ta'ala. What should be your company? The company should be the Ahlullah, the people of dhikr, the people who seek the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what will give courage to you. This is what will assist you in protecting yourself against the evil of nafs and shaitan. Then Allah says, وَلَا تُتِعْ مَنْ أَغْفَلْنَا قَلْبَهُ عَنْ ذِكْرِنَا وَاتَّبَعَ هَوَاهُ وَكَانَ أَمْرُهُ فُرُطًا. That do not follow those who we have made heedless regarding our remembrance. Their hearts are devoid of the dhikr of Allah Ta'ala. The so-called stars of this world, the football players, the different role models that people look up to in society. The hearts are devoid of the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا تُطِعْ. Don't follow these people. Don't obey these people. What is their quality? وَاتَّبَعَ هَوَى. They follow their desires. وَكَانَ أَمْرُهُ فُرُطًا. And their matter, they exceed the limits. They exceed the limits. These are people who will go into Jahannam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. So let us not, أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَى. Allah says, have you seen those who have taken their deity, their desires? Let us not make our desires our ilah. Let us not make our desires the objective of our life. Because as much as a person runs behind fulfilling his desires, he will never attain the enjoyment that he is looking for. Because the dunya is not the place of fulfillment of desires. It is only the Akhirah, Jannah, where a person will get complete happiness and complete fulfillment in whatever he desires. Hazrat Mawlana Jalaluddin Rumi rahimahullah, in his kitab Ma'arif al-Masnawi, he draws a parable and he mentions this story. He says, once there was a frog and a mouse. The frog, it stayed in the river most of the time in the water. The mouse stayed on the land. One day the frog and the mouse, they met. And they began talking and they liked one another. And they developed a relationship. And they developed a love relationship. And every day they would meet and they would talk and get enjoyment for hours and hours. They would talk to each other and share with each other their experiences, their secrets. And their relationship became very close. One day the mouse said to the frog, said, oh frog, you are living in the water. I am living on the land. If you want to see me, you can come whenever you want. But if I want to see you, I want to speak to you. I can't come into the water, I will drown. How do we solve this problem? How do I get in contact with you? Because I can't sleep at night, I'm only thinking about you. You have become the love of my life. Every thought, everywhere I turn, while eating food, I'm only thinking about you. So what must I do? So the frog thought to himself, that now the mouse is crossing the limit. The mouse is becoming now a person who is now dragging me in the wrong direction. Nevertheless, the mouse convinced him and came up with an idea. He said that I think we should tie a string around my leg and around your leg. So whenever I want to see you, I will pull that string, you will know I'm calling you, you'll come out of the water. And whenever you want to call me, you pull the string, and I know you are calling me, and I will come and we will meet. But the frog was not too happy with this. But nevertheless, he gave in, and they did that. One day the vulture came, and the vulture saw the mouse, and attacked the mouse. He picked up the mouse. While picking up the mouse, the frog, who was supposed to be in the safety of the river, he also got pulled out with the mouse. The vulture ate the mouse, and the frog, both of them were destroyed and killed. And then Mawlana Jalaluddin Rumi rahimahullah, he mentions the moral of the story. He says that the mouse was the evil company to that frog. And it is what led to the destruction of the frog. He says, understand the frog to be the roof. Understand the frog to be the soul. Understand the mouse to be the nafs. That the roof was in its happiness. It was at peace, undisturbed in its environment in the water. But the mouse, the evil mouse, in hadith, the mouse is also referred to as Fuwaisiqa, the little fasiq. Nevertheless, the mouse, the evil mouse, he pulled the frog and he pulled him in his friendship. The nafs, sometimes it whispers to the ruh that it needs to fulfill its desires. And when the ruh succumbs to fulfilling the desires of the nafs, then shaitan gets hold of both of them and shaitan drags the ruh to wherever he wants, ultimately taking a person into Jahannam. So this is what happens when a person follows his desires. Now my respected elders and brothers, how do we come out? The first thing is we have to establish in our hearts the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Understand, when the greatness of Allah penetrates the heart, then the greatness of every command of Allah will come in the heart. And the harm of every sin will come in front of a person. The dua of Quran, Allahumma habbib ilayna al-iman, wa zayyinhu fi qulubina, wa karrih ilayna al-kufra wal-fusuq wal-asyan. That Allah make iman beloved to us, but make kufr, sin, disobedience, make it something which is hated in our hearts. So to bring the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the heart over every other greatness. And thus we find to a great extent in the lives of Sahaba. Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu once was traveling. Whilst he was traveling, he sees a commotion on the road. And he goes to see us, ma ba'alu ha'ula, what is happening here? So the people tell him that, asadun ala tariqi qad aqasahum. He says there is a lion on the road that has made the people scared. So Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu nazala an dabbatihi, he gets down from his conveyance. Thumma masha ilayhi, then he walks to the lion, the wild animal, the lion. حَتَّى أَخَذَ بِأُذُنَيْهِ فَأَرْتَهَا. He catches the lion by its ears. He twists the ears of the lion. ثُمَّ نَفَذَ قَفَاهُ. And then he gives the lion a shot on its neck. وَنَهَاهُ عَنِ الطَّرِيقِ. And he removes it from the road. Fearlessly removing a wild animal from the road. But then Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu, he mentioned something amazing. He said, مَا كَذَبَ عَلَيْكَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not mention something false to you, O Ibn Umar. And he mentioned the hadith, سَمِعْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَقُولُ إِنَّمَا يُسَلَّتُ عَلَى ابْنِ آدَمُ مَا خَافَهُ ابْنِ آدَمُ. That only that which man fears will be given the upper hand over man. Only that which man fears will be given the upper hand over him. وَلَوْ أَنَّ ابْنَ آدَمْ لَمْ يَخَفْ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. And if the insan did not fear anyone or does not fear anyone except Allah, then لَمْ يُسَلِّتْ عَلَيْهِ غَيْرُ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not give anything the upper hand over insan. That they had brought the greatness of Allah to such an extent that wild animals, they had no fear in their hearts for wild animals. And then he said that what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَإِنَّمَا وُكِلَ ابْنُ آدَمْ لِمَنْ رَجَى ابْنُ آدَمْ وَلَوْ أَنَّ ابْنَ آدَمْ لَمْ يَرُجَى إِلَّا اللَّهِ لَمْ يَتِلْهُ إِلَى غَيْرِهِ. That insan will be handed over to that who insan pins his hopes on. If insan pins his hopes on none other but Allah, then Allah will not hand him over to any creation. So we have to bring that in our hearts. The complete fear of Allah and not the creation. Complete hope on Allah and no hope on the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person does this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make the entire world subservient to that person. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu sitting on the minbar of Masjid al-Nabawi, and one of his armies had gone out very far, and the army was fighting, the enemy was about to hit them from the back. Umar radiallahu anhu, Allah shows him the scene in Medina Munawwara. From Medina he calls out, Ya Saria al-Jabal, Ya Saria al-Jabal. He says, O Saria, the mountain. Allah commands the wind to carry the voice of Umar right till the Amir Saria radiallahu anhu. Saria radiallahu anhu hears the voice of Umar. They turn to the enemy, they defeat the enemy. When they return to Medina, they explain this incident. Umar radiallahu anhu said, yes, I called from the member of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah made the wind subservient to Sahaba. Talk about the power of water. Amr bin As radiallahu anhu is ruling over Egypt. The people of Egypt have a custom that when the river Nile reaches a certain time in the year, then we will take a virgin girl, we will beautify that girl, sacrifice that girl and put it into the river, then the river will continue to flow. Amr bin As said, you cannot do this. Islam doesn't allow this. The people say, okay, but they become despondent because now the Nile is drying up. Amr bin As radiallahu anhu writes to Umar radiallahu anhu. Umar radiallahu anhu responds and says, what you have said is correct. This cannot be done. But I sent you a letter. Take that letter and throw it into the river Nile. What was written in that letter? An Abdullah Umar Amir al-Mu'mineen ila Nili Ahli Misr. From Umar radiallahu an, the leader of the believers, to the Nile River of the people of Egypt. Amma ba'd. Then he says, فَإِنْ كُنْتَ تَجْرِي مِنْ قِبَلِكَ فَلَا تَجْرِي. He says, O Nile, if you are flowing by your own accord, then don't flow. We have no need for your flowing. وَإِنْ كَانَ وَاحِدُ الْقَهَّارُ يُجْرِيكَ فَنَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ الْوَاحِدُ الْقَهَّارُ أَيْ يُجْرِيكَ. But if it is Allah, Al-Wahid, the most powerful, who is making you flow, then we make dua to Allah and we ask Allah to make you flow. When that letter reached the river Nile began to flow even more than it used to flow before. So Allah made the Nile, the water subservient to Sahaba. Once there was a fire breaking out close to Medina in a place called Harra. Umar radiallahu anhu goes to Tamim Dari radiallahu anhu. Oh Tamim, sort out the matter. He says, me, how can I sort out the matter? Umar radiallahu anhu tells him, no. Tamim Dari radiallahu anhu goes. With his bare hands, he pushes back the fire that was about to come into Medina Munawwara. Allah made this fire subservient at the hands of Sahaba. When the greatness of Allah comes in the heart, this is the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come with each and every person. So that is the first thing, my respected brothers. And the second thing is to bring taqwa and inculcate the fear of Allah ta'ala in our heart. This we will get in the company of the people of taqwa. Allah says, Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu taqullah wa kunu ma'as sadiqeen. That, O people of Iman, fear Allah and be in the company of the sadiqeen, of the pious, of the truthful, of the righteous. When you come into their company, then the taqwa, that the Allah wala will take you to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then you will come to know who is Allah. You will recognize the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the third thing that will save us from the evil of our nafs and desires, it is the fikr of akhirah. It is the worry and the concern of akhirah. My respected brothers, these three things are very important. The greatness of Allah, bringing taqwa into our heart, the fikr and the worry of akhirah. The more we speak about akhirat, about Jannah and Jahannam, and the scenes of akhirat open in front of us, this will stop us from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and make us understand our true potential. Remember, our enemy, Shaytan, he took an oath, لَأُزَيِّنَنَّ لَهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَأُغْوِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. That, oh Allah, I will most certainly beautify things for people on earth using all means at my disposal. I will lead them all astray. And after that, on the day of Qiyamah, Allah paints the picture in Quran. Allah says, وَقَالَ الشَّيْطَانُ لَمَّا قُضِيَ الْأَمْرِ. That when the people of Jannah, إِذَا أُدْخِلَ أَهْلُ الْجَنَّةِ الْجَنَّةِ وَأَهْلُ النَّارِ النَّارِ. When the people of Jannah will be entered into Jannah, the people of Jahannam will be entered into Jahannam. Shaitan will be sitting on a member of fire in Jahannam. Then فَاجْتَمَعُوا عَلَيْهِ. The people of Jahannam will gather by Shaitan, and they will complain to him that you brought us here today. So what will Shaytan say? وَقَالَ الشَّيْطَانُ لَمَّا قُضِيَ الْأَمْرِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَعَدَكُمْ وَعْدَ الْحَقِّ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised you a promise which is true. وَوَعَدْتُكُمْ. I also promised you in this dunya. I told you such and such and such thing. فَأَخْلَفْتُكُمْ. But I have broken my promise. And then Shaytan says, فَلَا تَلُومُونِي وَلُومُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. He says, don't blame me today. Blame yourselves. Inni da'awtukum. I just gave you the invitation. I just gave you the invitation. The message came on the phone. Something popped up on the computer screen. The billboard that you saw, I extended the invitation. Fastajabtum li. You answered my invitation. Wama ana bimusrikhikum. I cannot help you today. You cannot help me. I have no power over you. Then Allah says that the transgressors will be in Jahannam forever. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks further, but about the people of Iman, how Allah will enter them into Jannah. So this is the invitation of Shaytan, my beloved youngsters. What is the invitation of Allah to every one of us? Allah says, وَاللَّهُ يَدْعُوا إِلَىٰ دَارِ السَّلَامِ. Allah invites you towards Dar Salam, the house of peace. وَيَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ إِلَىٰ صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. Allah will guide whomsoever He wishes to the straight path. What is this Jannah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is inviting you towards? Sahaba radiallahu anhu asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, حَدِّثْنَا عَنِ الْجَنَّةِ مَا بِنَاؤُهَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Tell us about Jannah. Tell us about the buildings of Jannah, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, that لَبِنَةُ ذَهَبٍ وَلَبِنَةُ فِضَّةٍ. One brick of gold, one brick of silver, وَمِلَاتُهَا الْمِسْكُ الْأَذْفَرُ. And the cement between these two bricks will be fragrant musk. This is the buildings of Jannah. وَحَسْبَاؤُهَا اللُؤْلُؤُ وَالْيَاقُوتُ. And the pebbles lying in the gardens of Jannah will be pearls, will be emeralds. وَتُرَابُهَا زَعْفَرَانُ. And what will be the sand? It will be fragrant smelling saffron. مَنْ يَدْخُلُهَا. Whoever enters into Jannah, يَنْعَمُ وَلَا يَبْأَسُ. He will be in complete luxury, enjoyment, happiness, never to be tired. لَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِي أَنْفُسُكُمْ. Whatever your heart desire, you will get it in Jannah. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَيَخْلُدُ وَلَا يَمُوتُ. He will remain in Jannah forever and ever. There will be no death. وَلَا تُبْلَى ثِيَابُ. His clothes will never wear out. وَلَا يَفْنَى الشَّبَابُ. And his youth it will never cease. He will be at the age of 33, enjoying the ni'mat of Jannah. Allah says, فَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِهِ فَيَقُولُ هَا أُمُقْرَأُ كِتَابِيَا. He was given his book of deeds in his right hand. He will call out on the day of Qiyamah to all the people, read my book. إِنِّي ظَنَنْتُ أَنِّي مُلَاقٍ حِسَابِيَا. I knew, I had yaqeen, I will meet the day of recompense. فَهُوَ فِي عِيشَةٍ رَاضِيَةٍ. He will be in happiness. فِي جَنَّةٍ عَالِيَةٍ. In the high gardens of Jannah. And how he will enjoy قُطُوفُهَا دَانِيَةٍ. The branches of the tree of Jannah will be in such proximity that while sitting, while reclining, while lying down, without even extending his hand, he can eat of the fruit of the branches of Jannah. Allah will say, كُلُوا وَاشْرَبُوا هَنِيئًا بِمَا أَسْلَفْتُمْ فِي الْأَيَّامِ الْقَالِيَةِ. Eat, drink, enjoy for the effort you had made in the dunya. So this is the Jannah that we are all striving for. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving the invitation towards. And in the verse of Quran, we will conclude with this, which I recited before you at the beginning. Allah says that that person, وَمَنْ يَأْتِيهِ مُؤْمِنًا, who comes to Allah as a mu'min, قَدْ عَمِلَ الصَّالِحَاتِ, he had done good deeds in this world. فَأُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمُ الدَّرَجَاتُ الْعُلَىٰ. In the akhirat for him, there will be high rank of Jannah, Jannatu Adnin, the Jannah where he will be forever and ever. تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ, flowing beneath it are rivers. خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا, he will remain in this Jannah forever and ever. And we gave a small description of Jannah, but the point of this ayah, which is the crux of why we have all come here today, why we have come for this Islahi Jalsa, Allah says, وَذَلِكَ جَزَاءُ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. This is the reward, this is the recompense for that person who made tazkiyah. Who made tazkiyah of his nafs, who purified his nafs from evil beliefs, from evil statements, from evil actions, from evil character. He made tazkiyah of his nafs and he came in the company of the pious, and that person will get the Jannah. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the Jannah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked in a hadith that, مَا تَزْكِيَةُ الْمَرْءِ نَفْسَهُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. How will a person make his tazkiyah? When will his tazkiyah be made? Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and this is the crux of why we have come, أَيَّعْلَمَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَهُ حَيْثُ كَانَ. That he knows and he has yaqeen in his heart that Allah is with him wherever he may be. وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ. Allah is with you wherever you are, O my youngster. Understand this. This will curb your desires, will make you understand your potential. And like how Sahaba created environments and changed countries and changed continents, then every one of you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept you to create ripples in the ummah and change countries for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you will see that reward in Akhirah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from us. Allah accept all of your sitting. Allah accept your coming. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our tazkiyah. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.